Wish you all a very good and hopefully energetic morning. In other words, hopefully you are not tired and you have found a good rest. Let me introduce my two lectures, which actually are called Divine Inventions, two types of divine invention to all of you. Yesterday when you arrived or came here, it was important for me to give you some type of tips which would help you to make your stay in Goloka Dham very beneficial for your spiritual life. We looked a little bit on what is going on for most of you. You have left the known, your place of residence, maybe your working place. Some of you have come, leaving their families after Christmas holidays, and they, you have left something, and you have entered a field which, in psychological terms, is known as liminal space. It's the field between leaving the old behind and discovering entirely the new life. This is, I could see this, when, as we were standing, someone was singing, and now the gate is opened. Wow, what should we do now? Okay, someone was falling down, someone was thinking, what to do now? then when the kirtan started, we all were still a little bit in our own little world, and then finally, after some time, we entered the kirtan. We felt, wow, this is something else than what I have at home, and it is, has a different flavor to it altogether. So we are still trying to exit our world, our mental world, our life, and we try to discover something new. We hope that our stay here in Goloka Dham will give us new insights in our Krishna consciousness, hopefully new determination and spiritual strengths, etc. So the way to make this project successful is to fill the liminal space or the in-between stage, state with spiritual activities. You have to put Krishna into the gap. We have to put Krishna and the worship of Krishna and the association in devotional ways into that empty space within the heart. And when you put Krishna there, or when you concentrate on Krishna while you're here, you will actually be able to experience a wonderful improvement in your life. You will certainly get to know what is the next stage or step in your life, and you will certainly, from within, be enlightened by Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks about his willingness to help the devotee by saying that those who are devoted to me, tesham evanukam padam, aham agyana yantamaha, I personally take away the covering of ignorance, of neshines, and come with the flaming torch, a blazing torch of knowledge to reveal what is to be revealed in the heart of the devotees. So today we are no longer tired and exhausted like we were yesterday. Today we will try to do this. We will listen to a Bhagavatam lecture, and we will hopefully have some insights, some I'm well prepared. I have so many books here, and I just pray to Krishna that my words will become alive. That it's not just words, but that they are alive for you. They are full of insights, and they will move you. We have a few devotees who work on their computers. You might like to do quickly the work you need to do and then come and be with us in our program. this is part. One of the two lectures called Divine Intervention. And the text today from which we are reading is from the fourth canto, chapter 29, text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Priyatamaschatma
Priyatamaschatma
Yachona Bhayamanvapi
Yachona Bhayamanvapi
Iti Veda Savai Vitma
Iti Veda Savai Vitma
Yo Vitman Sagurur Hari
Yo Vitman Sagurur Hari
Priyatamaschatma
Savai Priyatamaschatma
Yato na bhayamanvapi
Yato na bhayamanvapi
Iti Veda Savai Vitva
Iti Veda Savai Vitva
Yo Vitvansa Gurur Hari
Yo Vitvansa Gurur Hari.
Someone else, please.
Savai priyat matashchatma
Savai priyat matashchatma
Yato na bhayamanvapi
Yato na bhayamanvapi
Iti veda savai vidva
Iti veda savai vidva
Vidvansa gurur hari
Yato vidvansa gurur hari
Savai
Priyatamaschaiva
Yato
na Bhayamanvapi
Iti
Veda Savai Vitva
Yato
Vidvansa Guru Hari
Savai Priyatamaschaiva
Savai Priyatamaschaiva
Yato
na bhayamanvapi
Iti Veda Savai Vitva
Iti Veda Savai Vitva
Vitvansa Guru Hari
Yo Vitvansa Guru Hari.
Mantajis, please.
Savai Priyatamaschaiva
Yato na bhayamanvapi
Iti Veda Savai Vitva
Yo
Vitvansa Guru Hari
Sahi Vai,
Vai,
certainly,
certainly.
Priyatamaha,
Priyatamaha,
the most dear,
most dear.
Cha,
also,
Atma,
Atma,
super source,
Yataha,
from whom,
na,
never.
Never.
I am
fear.
Anu.
Little.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Veda.
Veda.
One who knows.
One who knows.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vitvan,
Vitvan,
educated,
educated.
Yaha,
Yaha,
he who,
Vitvan, Vitvan,
educated,
educated.
Saha,
Saha,
he.
Guru,
Guru, Sutamas, Harihi,
Harihi,
non different from the Lord,
non different from the Lord.
We have chosen this verse as an entry into our discussions because it takes away a certain fear from our heart. While we were at Govardhan retreat, one of our teachers, Adi Purusha Prabhu, gave a lecture on the two kinds of mercy of Krishna, and I listened to them and then decided to speak about this from my own perspective. And he made a nice point. He said that it is well known that Krishna gives two types of mercy. The sweet one and the bitter one. The sweet one is something which I would like to talk on this starting here. My subject is, how do we feel the Lord's hand in our life? What could we call a genuinely divine intervention, something which comes and moves our life? So when the Lord deals with us sweetly, he gives us undeserved mercy. We find very good arrangements in our life. We meet the right persons. Maybe obstacles are taken away from us. Like that, the mercy is sweet. But when he chooses to give us his bitter mercy, it is often corrections which he sends our way, lessons from which we can learn, even at times illnesses which bring us to understand that we need to go into a different phase of our life. His sweet mercy we like very much, but the bitter mercy we all have our difficulties with. Sweet mercy often means construction. It brings us forward, it moves us up. And bitter mercy often means deconstruction. Everything is taken away from a person who gets that mercy. And it is said it's even the special mercy of the Lord to deal with us in such a way. After the deconstruction, always we find out comes a new construction, which is much, much, much better than what was before in our life. But at first, the sweet mercy sounds very desirable, and the bitter mercy, oh, not again, please, sounds very difficult. We say, how much can I take, my Lord? In Vrindavan, they call the sweet mercy, they have a word for this, gulab jamun, and the bitter mercy they call neem. Neem, if you take a neem leaf, it's so bitter that it really moves your whole mouth and you look in your face like someone who has tasted neem. It's visible everywhere. Srinivas Swami now says, I should first say, both from an absolute point of view are necessary, and as we are will be listening to this presentation, I hope to make you understand why and how both types of divine gifts, the sweet and the bitter, are both equally good and equally necessary. Because from an absolute point of view, they come from Krishna. And whatever comes from Krishna can only be good because he is the well-wisher of everyone, especially of his devotees. Sridhar Swami makes a very interesting point. He's the famous commentator on the Bhagavatam, who was so often quoted by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says, if we understand that Krishna is always fair and kind, the door which leads out of the material world opens very widely. But if we blame Krishna or turn against Krishna, when we get that type of bitter mercy, the door of the material world gets a very good lock and is closed forever. It's so important to accept Krishna's two types of mercy in an equal way, so that someone who does will find the door to the kingdom of God opening wide, and someone who blames Krishna, like the German housewives, the nervous German housewives, they will find the door closing. What did the nervous Germans do? Well, when their husbands did not return from Second World War, the churches in Germany became empty, except for the mice and flies, because they thought that these wives, the Lord has acted unfairly with us. He is not our friend, he's our enemy. We don't want to go into his house. It's not safe there any longer. And they became atheists. Prabhupada said that one of his German godbrothers told him this, and he mentioned this in a lecture. Madhavendra Puri says something. He says, only a devotee is someone who willingly accepts the corrections of the Lord. He understands, wow, the Lord has corrected me, I accept this. He doesn't turn against the Lord and says, I will get another Lord, this is too much for me. this is the difference between a devotee and not yet devotee. Fine. So this as an introduction. Today we will deal with the sweet mercy. So it will be a wonderful lecture. But I think the one which you will hear the day after tomorrow will be even more eye-opening, because already we have a good relationship to the sweet mercy. So it just warms our heart. But what we will hear the day after, it will be, I think, something which will help you really to remove a block in your spiritual life and move forward with strength, the inner strength of bhakti and conviction. Let us talk now about what we usually call in religious language sweet mercy. No? There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which is very much highlighting this. It's from the 18th chapter, text 58. Machita sarvadurgani matprasadattarishyasi atachet tvam ahankaram nashoshyasi vinankshati. If you become conscious of me, says Krishna to Arjuna, if you become conscious of me, Krishna conscious, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my mercy. The word is prasadat. There are different types of mercy. And prasadat is a type of mercy of Krishna which is given almost entirely unconditional. You just have to be there to get it. Just like someone who goes to a temple, he gets all his prasadam. He doesn't have to be good to get prasadam. I mean, if we would have to be good to get prasadam, maybe 50% of us would starve in the temple. But prasadam is given to everyone. without consideration, please take a double portion. It is even seen that there is a special joy in those who give prasadam when a sinner and a drunkard comes. Oh, he came to get the mercy. Yes, prasadam should be given a double portion to them. No? I think you must be feeling like this when you are at the Sunday program and you see a conditioned soul just merely, he's so much battered by his karmic reactions, but he's there to take prasadam, and you say, take, then take so much that you will forget about drinking and smoking and so on and so forth. So if you become a little conscious of Krishna, no? Then the Lord says, I will give you my prasad, my mercy, which will help you to cross over your obstacles, all the obstacles of conditioned life. One very heavy obstacle is the death and the forgetfulness of anything which happens at the moment of death. Krishna says, Sarva means all Durgani. Durgani means very heavy obstacles by my mercy. Just be a little conscious of me, much chitta, and be conscious of me. The Bhagavatam, this is today's verse, speaks about this prasad di mercy. The verse says, I will give you now the translation. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. Krishna takes the obstacles away. Not the least fear, not a little bit. This is so because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. And then it is then very amazing. This is Narada Muni who speaks. One who knows this secret, that Krishna is my friend, is actually educated. And then you will not believe your ears what you hear now. And when he is educated like this, he can become the spiritual master of the Lord. One who's actually so this is what I've if you want to become a guru, better not, but if you want or at least if you want to be truly educated, focus your mind on this. Krishna is in your heart. You have nothing to fear, and he always is what to, in relationship to you. What do you say? A friend, a well-wisher. He's arranging everything, and he is a friend. Now, I gave this Christmas, I was in the Lutheran church, and I heard this very nice priest who speaks very nicely, but I felt I can also give a Christmas lecture. And then when I was celebrating Christmas with my parents, and they had invited a few devotees to their home, then I said, you have to understand something. And my mother went like, and my father went, let me analyze what the son says now, whether it's correct or not. There is a secret. Krishna, I say, because they are a little traumatized with the name Krishna, because Krishna took their favorite son away from them. They feel like this. So, but I said, God is your friend. Wow! This is a revolution in Christianity, said my father. They always tell us he is very intense to us, and if we don't follow everything, we go to hell. We should speak in the churches. God is our friend. He was immediately convinced, and my mother nodded at the face and I know my son is very good. I'm proud of him. And I spoke about this, that this is real spiritual life. This is our tradition, that we know the Lord is everywhere. He, nothing is separate from Him. The environment is friendly, therefore, because Krishna is your friend. He's there. He's in the heart to be a well-wisher. If you forget everything from the lecture, which might happen to some of you, Krishna is your friend. Take this with you, and that is good. So, this is what it said here, that if you are like this, engaged with Krishna, then you don't have to fear any longer, because as the all-pervading friend who is everywhere, He removes sarva dogani, all the obstacles in your life, if you just become a little conscious of Him and do devotional service. No? Mm-hmm. One who knows this secret, he is actually educated, and with this education he can become Bill Gates. No, sorry. And with this education he can become the spiritual master of the world. No? You can actually with this, if you can bring this to the awareness of the conditioned souls, you are Guru Hari. You can do this. So now, what is Krishna's friendly action towards the conditioned soul? What really is His mercy? What really is that divine invention which comes to us from a plane which is at the moment inaccessible to us because we are so conditioned? What exactly is this? What does it taste for? And when we pray for Krishna's mercy, what type of mercy, or what is it that we are praying for? No? This is a very important question which is addressed obviously in the scriptures, but I want to not tell it to you immediately because it is we want to approach this slowly and systematically because you are here in Germany and that's how we should do things. When you get this divine investment, something happens in your life. You become a man or a woman of God. This divine investment is so special that Krishna addresses his counselor, Uddhava, and says, because of this divine investment, the devotees are most dear to me. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even my brother Sankarsana Balaram, the goddess of fortune, and not even my own self are as dear to me as you devotees are. Why are they dear devotees? Because they have something which Krishna gave them out of their mercy. Krishna is so impressed by his own gift to the devotees that he says, those who have it, they are the best persons. What is that gift which makes an ordinary person, when he or she has it, so special? Is it a new computer? Or a position in the world, like the Calvinists say, if God gives you your mercy, you get wealth and position. That's how you can see if someone got the mercy of the Lord. No, the divine gift of the Lord is spiritual. It is bhakti. It is love for Him. That is the mercy we are looking for. Now, Krishna says that why He gives this mercy to the devotees in this world, and why the devotees who have bhakti in this world as a result of His mercy are so special to Him. He says that Brahma and Shiva and Balaram, especially Balaram, are already perfect. Shri is my wife. Lakshmi is my wife and my form is Lara. But the devotees who are in this world, in the samsaric world, they are not perfect, but they struggle to get bhakti, to perform devotional service. They fight with their mind. Some of you are fighting with sleep during this lecture. But you nevertheless came and did not want to sleep in your good beds, which are very warm. You are making an endeavor. Those who are perfected don't have to make an endeavor. They are perfected. And Madhvacharya gives us an example. He says, a gentleman sometimes neglects his own interest and that of his children to give charity to a poor beggar. Gentleman may be there, and there's a poor beggar who's very skinny, his veins are coming out between his muscles. He's really very, very, very much in need of help. And he comes begging at the house of a gentleman, and the gentleman sees him, and he sees, well, we have just prepared breakfast, but he needs it more. And although there are his children, and although he is there, he will tell the servant, bring this out, he needs it. So in the same way, Krishna feels so merciful towards those who are helpless. This means people like us, that He gives them His mercy, His prasad, in the form of bhakti. Here to say, similarly, the Lord gives preference means He prefers, to a helpless devotee who depends completely on His mercy. The only way to get His mercy is through His causeless love. Because the Lord is the friend, He is the best friend you can imagine. He sees us in our helpless condition. He sees that we are like beggars. He sees that we are desperate, that we have tried, but we have not yet become fully Krishna conscious. And then He said things like a gentleman. They are totally dependent on me. They are like my children. Oh, okay. Then I give them my bhakti, my devotion. Then everything changes in the heart of the devotee. The moment there is bhakti, that moment is when the light switches on. And you come out of the conditioned or material state of living. But let me make it very clear to you why we talk about sweet mercy in this connection. The beggar is not yet perfect, right? In one verse, which comes a little later, the Lord explains the perfect devotees, those who are without desire for personal gratification. Are you like this? Those whose mind who is always attached to me? Are you like this? Is your mind always attached to Krishna? Who are peaceful? Oh, you are so stressed out often. Who are without false ego. Oh, I can say, speak of myself, I'm full of false ego. And those who are merciful to all living entities, not everyone, those I like, I am good, but the others, ich mache einen weiten Bogen um sie. And whose consciousness is never affected by opportunities for sense gratification. My God, when there's a pizza, I eat 3 or 4. If I can get more, 5 pieces, let me use the opportunity. Such persons, he says, enjoy in me a happiness that cannot be known or achieved by those lacking such detachment from the material world. You know, when you hear this, you go like, okay, let's close the books. It's not for me. I won't be able, I have to be totally detached to enjoy the happiness of Krishna consciousness or to be with Krishna. But then, this is the normal, the ideal devotee. But then he says, the Lord says, because he wants to make the point that he loves those who make an endeavor and gives them despite of themselves. In other words, even though they are not perfect, his mercy. He says, he gets so excited. He wants to speak about all his devotees, but he just sees Uddhava before him, so he says, my dear Uddhava, if my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires, but because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us examples. Sometimes he wants to explain how a devotee tries his best, but he is sometimes failing. But Krishna now doesn't say, no, no, you don't get my mercy. The sweet mercy is like this, that he wants to give his prasad to all those who are a little conscious of him, no? who do his seva like all of us. He wants to give sweet, overwhelming mercy. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. A warrior may go out and as he engages in combat, he may be struck by the weapons of his enemy. Oh no. Oh no, I'm bleeding. How long will I be able to remain strong? I'm losing my strength here. But because of his courage and strength, he is not killed or defeated. He accepts the blow and then goes on to victory. This is how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, a devotee may sometimes have difficulties. He may be so much engaged in his work to pass the exams that he loses his concentration on his 16 rounds. He may be so much overwhelmed at the time when he enters a marriage relationship, that at the moment he can only follow 3 7/8 of the regulated principles. A devotee may, in other words, come before a table of pizzas and he may eat more than is necessary for him and suffer indigestion afterwards. But a devotee, I'm giving examples for the modern man, but a devotee who goes on, except, oh my God, this was not good now, But he goes on fighting, going through his course. He will surely come to victory by the energy, by the help of the Lord. And then he gives another example. Similarly, one may contract a serious disease, but if he takes the proper medicine, he is quickly cured. We had this in Vrindavan, where some of our devotees were staying at Govindakund, and one of our devotees got a terrible disease, which I don't really, I hope I can say it, called dengue fever. A year before, a devotee died from this disease. It's a very bad disease. It's a form of malaria, but it is about 10 times as bad as malaria. And the devotee, we all were very concerned about the devotees. Even the Kathagivas of Vrindavan, the famous people, were so concerned. They phoned and said, this devotee must immediately go to the best hospital in Delhi to get, because we don't want to lose the devotee. And then the devotee was still struggling. Pains like anything all over the body. Just really suffering. But the medicine was given, and medicine was taken, and then he was quickly cured. So this is also, we may be suffering still, and we may not be perfect, but Krishna gives his sweet mercy and quickly cures us. Mm-hmm. There was this slave driver, slave hunter. I forgot his name. Vessel or something. His father and his forefathers had gone to Africa, hunted down these wonderful people, brought them into their ships, and brought them to England as slaves, you know. They treated them worse than Europeans treat their pets, because some of the slaves died. Now once he was coming with a full shipload to England, and a terrible storm came across him. The slave hunter, and he then prayed, "My Lord, my ship will sink, all the slaves will sink. If you save me from this, if you give me your mercy, then although I am a slave driver, although I am a slave hunter, I'm bad, but if you give me your mercy, I will only glorify you, and I will dedicate my life to you." The moment he spoke this prayer, the storm stopped. Although all of the masts, do you know what is a mast? It's that thing which goes up, which holds the sail, had gone overboard. Somehow he could find another ship, and the ship brought him to England. Then he composed a song which I would like to sing for you about the sweet mercy. Amazing grace, how sweet thy sound. You found a sinner like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Hare Krishna. It's like this. I can't sing. I didn't catch the melody 100%, but it's something like this. And it ends with Hare Krishna. So, No, I was blind, so blind, but now I see. Now the mercy has come, sweet mercy has come. Although I did not deserve it, although I am not perfect. This is the kind of mercy which is taught here in the 14th chapter of the 11th canto. If you like to read this, it's really, really nice. It starts with text 15, 11, 14, 15. So there is, we have our own song about the mercy of the Lord. There is a Dain Yakti Vijnapanam by Sanatana Goswami. He says, O Lord, I repeatedly offer my humble obeisances unto your glorious karunya. Karunya means a very sweet type of mercy. Radharani is called karuna mayi. Yes, very sweet type of mercy. I repeatedly fall down, offer my obeisances unto your sweet mercy. Although I'm fallen, although I'm sinful, although I'm wretched and a cheater, you are nevertheless unlimitedly merciful. And then he speaks about the divine intervention of divine mercy. He says, he looks back in his life, he says, I was forced to be the political advisor of the Hussein Shah. You know, he was forced to support the Hitler of India. And I was there, a prominent figure. I think he was either the prime minister or the finance minister. I don't know at this moment which one of the two posts, but it's one of the two, very influential. Your mercy, Sanatan says, has liberated me from the greatly polluted royal assembly. I could leave my life. I was first thrown into the prison when I did not want to cooperate, but then you helped me to escape the prison and came to you. You gave me a state in my life which is somewhat like the state of your saintly devotees. And the best is, you have given me a place to reside within this all auspicious Mathura Mandala. It means the circle of Mathura, the Vrindavan. Then, my Lord, your mercy has provided me the unique opportunity to associate with you. Think a little bit about the history. When he escaped from prison, then he went on a long journey and eventually arrived in Varanasi. Whom did he meet in Varanasi? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Your mercy guided me through this long, long journey. Finally, I met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, I associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Neelachal, in Jagannath Puri. And it's a long, long prayer which is describing the glory of the sweet mercy of Krishna. If you want to read it, you will find it as the concluding chapter in the Krishna Leela Stava of Sanatana Goswami. It's a very, very nice poem. This unconditioned mercy, which is just very, very, very sweet in its taste. It's undeserved. It comes to everyone who is machchitta, becoming conscious of Krishna. Not who's perfect, who's becoming conscious of Krishna, or as this verse says, one who is engaged in devotional service. Yes, no fear in material existence. The Lord is working like this. This is the first type of divine intervention in the life of the conditions. dear devotees, as I'm talking about this, I think about the mercy, how it came to me. I was so much absorbed in my material life, and so much having hopes for development here and there. But somehow the Lord appeared to me in a form which I could appreciate. I was a music lover. I still am a kind of music lover. Little music lover, not a big music lover. Big music lover, yes, but very poor skills. Very poor talent. But I could I could appreciate music. And the Lord came to me on the TV with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna. That is mercy. And it took me and it brought me to more and more take shelter in the holy name. More and more, it is gradual. I'm only starting. I know this is very sweet, sweet mercy. And as I'm talking about this, I find it so nice. Krishna is our friend. He is there and gives us bhakti. But he also will see that his initial investment is purified. And then he gives his second type of divine intervention, which is even more sweet if you can understand it from an absolute point of view. And that will be the day after tomorrow. Tomorrow is Mrigenda Prabhu. He will give us a class and then after Mrigenda. So I have come to the end of this presentation. I want to see now if there are any questions regarding this subject. I see one. Majaji in the back, and then our Ujashri is also here. Yes. Okay, let's start with these two questions. I see another question. Yamuna is there. Another thing. Okay, please ask your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Have I understood properly, if we realize that Krishna is our best friend, we can become his guru?
Krishna's guru?
You said guru, Hari.
Yes. I don't know about becoming Krishna's guru. that is the question, yes. No, it says here, Guru Hari means the spiritual master who is not different from the Lord. It's another point. But what you become is someone who is convinced like this, that Krishna is your friend. He becomes maybe not an officially designated guru, but he becomes a spiritual teacher. His message is very simple to the conditioned soul. Let us live fear. Let us live free of fear in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada arises in the third canto. And because he is convinced of this, that the Lord is his friend, he can make others convinced. Let us live free from fear in Krishna consciousness. Then you can give that message. Thank you. Thank you very much. A very good question. Oh, Jashi, yes. Speak loud enough, please.
Yes. I read also in Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning somewhere, I don't remember exactly, I'm sorry, that Krishna said that he gives mercy to a person who is sthita buddhi.
Who is what?
Sthita buddhi.
Sthita buddhi, fixed in consciousness.
He rather observes his movements of his mind and the body, rather than be identified with these movements in the body. I mean, he's conscious of his thoughts and movements, so he said he gets my prasada. Does that kind of person get my mercy. So I wanted to ask about this kind of mercy.
It's in the second chapter, I believe, of the Gita. I remember this also, where Krishna asks Arjuna, what are the symptoms of a self-realized soul? I remember it like this. Am I correct in my memory?
Yes, I think it's
yeah.
So what's the end of
it? Toward the end of the second chapter?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's do it. I would like to. Yes. Yes, I have it. Yes. Yeah. So Ojashvi's question was, he read in the Bhagavad Gita that he who is fixed in consciousness, in other words, who is not affected by happiness and unhappiness as it comes. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, that such a person has gotten also the mercy of Krishna. And yes, this is a very important subject which will come up tomorrow, that how a devotee deals with these happiness and unhappinesses which come. He understands they are coming due to my karma, but Krishna, in his mercy, has anukampa, is the word, has reduced them to just a small little prick in the hand. Just a little. I would have lost my hand in ordinary circumstances, but the Lord reduced this karmic reaction to just a little prick. And someone who goes on like is not disturbed, and then continues to offer devotional service with body, mind, and words, he is the sure candidate to get his daya back, to inherit the mercy of the Lord and go back home, back to Godhead. Sure. See, I think you can understand, Ojashvi, that Krishna sees, my devotee is not blaming me that I'm now suffering a little bit, but he is undisturbed both in happiness and distress. And then the Lord understands, my devotee is not concerned about his happiness. He's also not so much concerned about that, oh, now I'm suffering, lament. But he is concerned about me. He is offering me obeisances and is fixed, undisturbed. He does continue his service. Then he gets mercy. I saw this once in Braj. There was one little boy who had been, he was playing on the road, and a car who didn't see him was just driving over him, and his whole leg was broken, and you know, there were cuts in his muscles or in the flesh of his leg, and he had to lay for 2 months in a you know, not move. It was a difficult difficult, obviously. Fracture. Thank you. It was, I think, not just the leg, the spine or something. He had to lie for, and he was just, his eyes were full of light. Then I see all this one lady. She's lying on a bed. Ooh, so much touching my heart. Then I pass with my bicycle. She's lying on her bed, And she's very thin. She's lying there since 2 years. And as a Vajrasi lady, I stop my bicycle and give something which I have to eat to her. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry, I express this. But her eyes are full of light. She says, Bhagavan Kripa, the mercy of the Lord. What will the Lord think about someone like this, Vajrasi? This is severe, 2 years. Lying on the bed of the little boy, 2 years, 3 years in the carcass, lying, and it's like in Germany you would say Gips bed, a bed made with the form of the body so that the body cannot move inside. And they say, Bhagavan Kripa, what will the Lord think? Think about it. He will think, Mastita Buddhasya, the intelligence is fixed on me. I give the mercy. Tatenu kampam sushumikshamanam. This understanding of not being diverted by your karma, but continue to do service, is very important. While at the same time acting responsible with whatever the situation requires. You can't run away from the responsibilities which the situation has, but your consciousness shall be, I want to serve Krishna. No matter what, oh yes, this is not nice, what happened, oh no. And so on. Take full responsibility also. Oh, I did something wrong, why am I still so immature, and so on. But and then do as good as you can. And then remain fixed on Krishna. These are very important. Then Krishna says, wow, tried, tested, and proved. Bang, step. My yogi. he goes into the section of my devotees. Good. I have a certain order here. So I'm going here. Jamuna. Yes.
My question is a bit related to this. You made this quote in the beginning, to be equal in taking Lakshmi mercy and Sunni mercy.
Yeah.
But there is also this terrifying, for me personally, terrifying quote that if you don't take the mercy, the Sunni mercy, equally as the Lakshmi mercy, then the lock of the material world gets really close. So I was really like, ooh. But then I was just considering for myself, you know that I'm quite rebellious. And there were many instances in my life where this mean mercy, I was not agreed with it.
Yeah.
And I was really angry with Krishna. But after some time, I felt like he never left my heart and he was always there.
Yeah.
So I'm having difficulty to connect these two, my experience and then this warning on another side.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let me repeat Yamuna's very important question. Her question is that you opened your presentation, your lecture today, with a quote. It's from Sridhar Swami. I would like to read it again so that we are clear about it. Here. If we understand that Krishna is fair and kind always, the door of material, out of the material world widely opens. But if we blame Krishna, the lock which is put on the door of material nature, this is a little bit contemporary, modern language, but it closes. What it talks here about, Yamuna, is something else than becoming overwhelmed by the intensity of the Neem experience and so on. It means to blame Krishna. You, why did you do this? You are very bad. And becoming atheistic. There is a narration about this type of situation, which I think you don't do. In the Mahabharata, the with the saint Utkala who became an atheist. You are not an atheist. Utkala came after the battle of Kurukshetra to Krishna and said, "We know who's the one who destroyed all these people. We know who's the one who arranged behind the kulisses, who made the arrangements of all these unfair encounters. You know, there were not a lot of unfair things going on, even from the Pandavas. We know who made all these women cry. It's the one who showed the universal form, who showed how he is powerful in arranging everything. It's you, Vasudev. You are the real rascal, not Duryodhana." And Krishna said, "Utkala, what will you gain by blaming me?" Blame her, so verantwortung ziehen und beschuldigen. "What will you do by blaming me? You will only hurt yourself." When I read this, I was remembering what I saw once in my childhood. And I lived in a town which where there were people living under the poverty area. We lived in our villa and they lived in under the poverty line, really poor. My mother was always good, I must say, and she did charity to these people, but I once remember as a child seeing someone on the market with these plastic bags, you know, one of these homeless people who can pack all their belongings into 5 plastic bags. You see them in Brooklyn now also a lot. And this person was passing me as a child. And the person that, "Oh, it's because of you that I'm so poor." And as a child, I was inquisitive, so I walked next to the person. "Who said you? It's because of you that I'm suffering so much. It's because of you that my wife cheated me so much. I blame you. You." And then he took the face and spit up, and all the spit came down. I remember that as a child. It made a big impression on me. And I went, "I will never do this." You know, I may be rebellious, but I will not blame the Lord and say something bad about him. Sometimes it may happen, but then pay quickly your obeisances so that you. Just if you want to save your skin, Yamuna, if you spit this out, quickly pay your obeisances, otherwise you get it into your face. It's called being offensive to us a lot. It's not good. You're not doing that. I know you a little bit. The devotion in the heart is always there. I have always noted that. A little rebellious, but that's not like taking a machine gun and shooting to Vaikuntha, you know, but in the direction of Vaikuntha. But that's something else. That's a normal reaction of a devotee who is slowly reaching perfection, but who has not yet reached. That's normal. Have you seen a son sometimes beating the parent? Have you seen small child? Have you ever seen the parent beating back? I have never seen it. Even with low-class people, you don't. When the child is I think maybe Ramananda, has your sugar money beaten you? Have you ever thought of You are a good... Hier, die Grenzen ausgereizt. Okay, Ramananda is from Latin America. They have a little bit more temperament than us. No? I have never seen this. This is the normal reaction. The little child is becoming this bad. But he is not an atheist. He's not a, he doesn't hate his father. Most probably he, it's an expression of his love. You know, that they be. Father is everything. If the father would turn and ignore the child would be finished. There would be no future for the child. What to speak of even beating? So the Lord, then you act like a little immature little girl from the land of blood and honey, you know, and say some rebellious things. It's not what a demon does.
It's such an important question for me, because this is one of the topics I'm always struggling with in my spiritual. You said just the words, demons. So what is with
modern German devotee, yes. A person covered with antagonistic attitudes. If you like this more.
Yes. No, but this is the word, you know, like even Ramana and Hiranyakashipu, even they got away from this material dimension. So, as you said, samskaric world. So I'm just wondering what kind of atheism or what kind of hatred it has to be, you know, like...
That the law turns against you, or...
I mean, I wouldn't like to know, because then I have the impression in the mind, but I'm just asking myself...
You want to know where's the border line?
Or is it really true? Because either he is a friend, or there are so many conditionings, but then I cannot get this unconditioned love fixed into this world, you know.
You think if the Lord is giving unconditioned love, he should... like also those who turn against him. So is that what you say? I'm trying to understand the question.
Yes, like somehow. Because there's this statement, everyone is, you know, like,
he
is coming from the Lord, so especially those who are so much needy, and mm-hmm. who is more needed than the one who is inclusion. So the Lord doesn't reject him, but then there is this warning, like, you know, so it's difficult to... Because sometimes I have fear from the world. It's there. It's maybe something left from, I don't know, Christian culture or something, but I couldn't solve this problem for me. And I don't know, maybe some ancestral.
Is the question clear to all of you?
Mm-hmm.
That Yamuna speaks about unconditional love. The Lord is a friend, like we hear in this verse, but still we see that he apparently neglects people. Like there is a verse in the Gita, I can bring some benzene in your argument, which says the demons, birth after birth, I put them into demoniac species. You remember this? So what? How do we put this or reconcile this with the idea of unconditioned love? This is the question, is it? Because I need to know the question to answer it. Or it's the fear, maybe a personal fear. When does the Lord give me up? When do I cross the line where I fall into a category where he is no longer merciful towards me? Is that the... Maybe you have to think more about the question. Because it doesn't reach me. So therefore, I will try it's when we ask a question, we should be clear about the question before we ask it. Because how can the other understand unless he uses mystic potency? Maybe I should try. I'm not, in this setting, I can't. Intuition, the devotee. he is a devotee who has seen many things in her life. She has seen misery. And she wonders, is Krishna really unconditionally merciful? Is that's what my intuition tells me. Was it right or was it wrong?
Like, I would say from my own experience that he is unconditionally merciful. But therefore I don't understand, like, I'm utterly honest, I'm tending to reject the statement of Sridhar Swami, because I cannot see the connection. This is it.
Oh yeah, now you were very clear. Yes, the Lord should love everyone, and this is it's not a good statement that he rejects. Well, I want to now answer this question. It is a very important question, first of all, because I do know that these super heavy statements, like the Lord puts people again and again in demoniac forms, you know, that they really are forgetful, is something which is dealt with in different ways by different sampradayas. The Madhva sampradaya gives a different understanding than the Gaudiya sampradaya in explaining this verse. So it's in the air. The great personalities are also thinking about this. But there is one element, I think, there is one element which might help you to understand. It's the element of free will. When someone really doesn't want the Lord, I think you can't imagine this because you are a devotee, but if there is really someone who is not a God searcher, but a God hater, the Lord could not break his principle by just going and pushing himself and his mercy on this person. It's not, that person is coming under a different department of the Lord, which is the action and reaction department by which this whole world works. But I will give you now a statement from the Skanda Purana, which makes me personally very thoughtful. It will upset you more, but as I said, this is for this. We need to think deeply. The retreats are for this. You are an older devotee. You need to think about this question more. Here comes the statement. It's really a statement where you need to fasten your seatbelts. I'm warning you, you have not fastened your seatbelt. You're a nice morning class. And so on. But now something will come which you will not believe. I have to quote it from memory. It's in another book. If you make 100 conscious offenses, you become a pretender in your spiritual life. You pretend that you are a devotee, but if you have made 100 conscious offenses against the Lord and his devotees, you are not really a devotee. If you make 1,000 heavy offenses, you lose your inner strength to follow the regulated principles. You will do things which are not in your interest. If you make 10,000 conscious offenses, you lose your taste for bhakti. Skanda Purana is talking about, because the Lord is so merciful, but if someone commits aparadha, that is something which moves him away from the Lord consciously. I'm talking now not on mistakes or little, but aparadha. Oh, the Lord says, what can I do for this person? He doesn't want me. And I think when we hear this, it's like a warning. But again, I want to say, Yamuna, you are a first-class devotee. You are not so bad as you think yourself to be. This talks about some other situation. That is my understanding. But please think about it. It will work in you, and I'm sure as you are dealing with this subject, even if you are not agreeable, you heard it, but if you agree, I don't know. It's not for the public to know now. But you should think about it. The versus type of thing I see is if we are all devotees and we stop thinking about texts, and we stop moving them, and we stop to inquire and go deeper, and we just go into a very dull, ordinary life, the life of the compromise position. Then nothing can move any longer. The juice has, the blood circulation has stopped. Good. We are now a little over time, which is to be expected when we talk about the sweet mercy. But you heard about the sweet mercy. Krishna gives sweet mercy. You also got sweet mercy. Don't think about it. You know, then will come the day after tomorrow. This was about
Krishna. Can I say one thing?
Not really now, but you can say it to me afterwards.
Everybody should hear.
It's 9:30. Everyone needs to take prasadam. Good.